Mean coming up in just a minute here on the Buddy Martin Show on a Tuesday night. We have a good show for you. We're going to talk a little about, have you ever had anything named after you, like a street or a building or a place? Well, you know, somebody's getting one this week. We'll talk about that. Also, it is Super Bowl week. I tend to forget it. Back when I covered it, I talked about it a lot more. We have a special insight this week, thanks to our colleague, Lauren Meadows, who will bring aboard tonight the guy who coached the only brothers to ever play against each other in the Super Bowl. Yeah, right here on this show. And we'll kick around some stuff about what's going on with Urban Meyer. Talk a little bit about what David Whitley's been writing about, Super Bowl picks, et cetera, et cetera. So stay tuned. It's going to be a fun night like it always is. Thanks to all you folks for joining. And for our sponsors that make this possible tonight, it's Titan MRI, which we deeply appreciate. So, all right, folks, we're getting ready to push a button, and we're going to be on the air. And thanks for standing by. Tell your friends and neighbors the Buddy Martin Show is on the air.
Yes, it's time again for Buddy Martin. Call him up and tell him what you're thinking. But be kind because he's doing the best he can.
Stronger, faster.
Mama says that alligators are ornery because they got all them teeth but no toothbrush.
Hey, what if the voice calls while you're gone?
Take a message.
Bye. You ready, champ?
I'm ready for this my whole life.
I'm incapable of small talk. But that's why you love me, right?
Kind of intimidating to be in the presence of so many great athletes.
Good evening and welcome to the program. It's great to be with you, and I mean great to be with you tonight on the show. I am Buddy Martin, and momentarily we'll be able to get our picture up here. Well, here we go. Been a long day. Spent a lot of it in various sundry doctor's offices and getting things done with the family, so it's always good to be with you tonight. And I mean that sincerely because a group of these people here have been with me now for, gosh, 4 or 5 years. If we go back to the day when we had first started GNK, right, guys? We got a few guys out there who know what this GNK means. So thanks for tuning in. You let us know if we're coming in loud and clear tonight. Hopefully we are, and we've got new software. But let's just start out by saying good evening to all you folks. Do appreciate all of you folks supporting the show and our sponsors as well. Titan MRI, and Meldon Law, and Minstar. So, yeah, let me get this spot in here right now and say good evening. And I thank David Willie standing by in the orange and blue room. It's always fun with David. Here's a message from our friends at Titan MRI.
Things have certainly got a little out of hand lately when it comes to just buying our everyday necessities. Just look at gas, streaming services, and heck, even chicken wings. Well, there is one necessity that shouldn't cost a ton. Taking care of yourself and helping fix all the aches and pains in life, and the fine folks at Titan MRI agree. With costs a fraction of what you'd pay at a hospital, you'll not only save money, you'll be taken care of by staff with over 20 years experience. So when you need an MRI, call Titan first, and you can go where your doctors send their families. Now offering CAT scans.
All right, thanks. Thank you very much to Titan MRI for sponsoring this and to, of course, for Jeff Cardoza. We're going to see Jeff come Friday night. We'll be at the Stevesburger Street Naming, and he'll be the MC, and we'll be doing a little something-something. And also, I wanted to say to you folks, good evening to you. Thanks for checking in. David, stand by 1 second. We got his Super Bowl picks. Maybe a few of these special bets that you can make, prop bets as they call them. So good evening to Eric Newton back again. Won the pole position. Nice going, Eric. To Howard Lovering. Hello from the pipeline. Robert Turner, dilly-dilly to you. Michael Burden, State of Florida Football. The Buddy Martin live tonight on 9 p.m. I like that. I was thinking, what could I do to compete with the State of the Union, right? Michael, you're on it, man. That's a good idea. The State of Florida Football. Except tonight we're going to talk about the State of the Super Bowl, too, as well. And then, we can talk about the State of Florida Football. And David Whitley's got to do it. And also Cliff Neal, Dan Bond from out in Dallas, Texas, and A.J. Rowe, John Brock, Charles Lewis, Toby G. C. Perimeter, who's killing with trivia. Drev Trivia tonight, Lauren is going to trivia, Donald Wilder, Tommy Gunn Sale. So thank you very much. Let's go right over to the Orange and Blue Room and see if he's through with his caviar and champagne. He has a lot of requests. He has special requests. He won't go to the show unless he has the caviar and champagne. What else is it, Dave? I forget now.
Well, I usually like to have my feet massaged by some of the.
We can't talk about that. I'm sorry. Okay. Let's just leave it at like the Bentley, which you'd like to.
I understand.
Be, okay.
I don't do anything that Robert Kraft wouldn't do before a game.
That's a lot. There you go. How are you, David?
I'm fine, buddy. How are you tonight?
I've had better days, but had worse days. You know. Sometimes things don't go your way, and you never like to spend a lot of time in a doctor's office. But fortunately, we survived there, and we're okay. So, and just in general, I mean, whether you have something wrong with you or not, just getting in there and sitting for 2 hours. Anyway, I'm glad to be here tonight, and I'm not going to complain about that. And I have a lot of questions to ask you, David Whitley. First of all, you covered a bunch of Super Bowls. I do remember. I don't know how many. I was trying to count mine the other day. Do you remember how many you covered?
It would be between 10 and 15. You know, okay. They sort of blur after a while.
Yeah.
You know, frankly, what I remember most from each one is the halftime show. That sort of differentiates them from each other.
Yeah. Greatest one I ever saw, I was sitting in the stands in Tampa in Whitney, Houston. And I was sitting there with Terry Bradshaw. He was with the sponsor, and I sat in the stands with him. And that's the night they had the whole thing with Afghanistan and all the stuff. And the unbelievable rendition of the show, the Star Spangled Banner, was unbelievable that night. But anyway, so I'm going to get to you on some prop bets. You know, some of these crazy bets. And I'll ask the audience to kind of jump in there if they've got one, too. And I'll start it off with that. And these prop bets, you can – I remember when I kind of broke the story on this, on that Super Bowl out in not L.A., where was it? Anyway, I had this, my friend of mine had been in a casino in Vegas, and he came back from Denver, and he gave me his sheet with all these prop bets on it. And I got it laying there, and I'm sitting there waiting to run it off in fax or whatever it was back in those days. And this guy walked up from the New York Times. He said, "Can I see this?" I said, "Sure." He looked at it and said, "Okay, I might use this." In the next day's New York Times, there was a story about prop bets, which he scooped me on my story. You know, took the stuff. But anyway, and it was just a brand new thing then. And now, David, you can get everything from will a kick hit the upright or crossbar? You can get what color Gatorade they're going to throw on the winner. You can get the number of the jersey of the guy who scores first. You can get, on. So do you have one you'd like to try just the heck of it? The jersey, the first number to score? No, I would never get that one. Here's one. I got one. Now you take your choice. Will there be a power outage in the Super Bowl?
I would bet not, but if the odds are, if the payoff is worth it, I would bet $5 if the payoff was like 1,000 to 1.
Well, +750 on FanDuel if you say yes. So we could put $5 on that, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'll give you. I would do that because you never expect it, but who expected it that time in New Orleans?
Right. I've got one I wish I could put on. My first Super Bowl was Super Bowl II. I didn't see the first one out in L.A., and I did see the second, well, I thought it was second through nine, but in three and two It was in New Orleans, and the hot air balloon went into the stands. I remember that.
I remember seeing that.
Yeah, yeah. Crazy stuff like that. And then, you know, of course, the name of Super Bowl was the ultimate Super Bowl, naturally, for many of us. But people who don't remember or know what that's about, David, explain to them that there were two leagues back then, although it was before your time, the AFL and the NFL, and they were separate leagues. You know, and no one thought the NFL would ever in the history of football, beaten by an AFL team. And along came his cocky, brash quarterback named Namath, and what happened?
Oh, yeah, it was the upset of at least the decade, you'd say.
If not the century, right?
Right, mm-hmm. Right. And the fact that this cocky kid made the prediction
mm-hmm.
on the poolside. And were you poolside with him? I know.
Yeah,
I know Bill McGrotha was.
Yeah. Now let me tell you. Here's the correct answer. He actually did not make that prediction there.
Right.
He made it the night before, and a local Miami Touchdown Club or whatever the organization, he spoke, he made that prediction there, and then he repeated that at poolside, and yes, I was at poolside. You won't see me in the pictures, but I was there, but different times. He was out there for,
right.
I mean, think about today's, how they're orchestrated today. I think about getting somebody at poolside. Are you kidding me? And then Neil Abner and I, one year, I think it was Super Bowl II. We missed a press opportunity, and we went to the hotel and got Donnie Anderson out of bed and interviewed him. Can you imagine doing that today? They'd arrest you.
No. I envy you guys for being able to do that, because by the time I came along, it had become more of a NFL Gestapo-like media day. And of course, now it's just completely off the charts. You know, it's become basically a TV event and all that. But yeah, just it was a perfect scenario. You know, Broadway Joe just sitting poolside, catching some rays and chatting it up with the scribes, and making that prediction. And of course, at that point, he was, you know, it just all came together historically, because he was almost, it was almost like the generation gap back then.
Yeah,
he was Woodstock. He was flower power. Taking over the establishment, and he made this because back then the Colts were favorite. You know, Don Shula was the coach, and they were the prohibitive favorites. And here comes the
I think 18 points, as I remember. I think 18 points is what they were favored by.
And of course, I guess what's the final, 16-7, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I vaguely recall watching the game. I don't guess it was very exciting. I mean, the score didn't sound very exciting, but just the fact it was. They pulled it off, and I can still see, you know, that NFL Films slow motion of him going back into that Orange Bowl locker room afterwards.
Yeah.
You know,
I was right behind him. I was right behind him, actually.
Were you?
And there is a picture in the locker room. Somebody's got the book where I'm in. I'm there. Not that that's impressive, but just to know that, you know, being part of history like that was amazing. Right. Yeah, and you mentioned there was the establishment. I mean, that, what was the saying? You couldn't be trusted if you were over 30, right, back then?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he became, you know, just if the flower power hippie generation had a sports icon, it became Joe Namath at that point.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he milked it for all it was worth. You know, I mean, he was a really great quarterback, great arm, but you know that alone probably got him in the Hall of Fame.
But he was this, and this is what they said about him in Alabama. I saw him play one year up there. Was and didn't realize that he was that good of a prospect. He had a quick release. That was a big thing. That's why he got the $427,000 contract. And by the way, I did go out with him one night with a group of friends, 8 of us, and Bill Mathis, who was the fullback. Joe got plowed under. He had his I think it was Johnny Walker Red. Anyway, so he got blasted, and he went to the bathroom, and I went in there. And while standing there, I said, Joe, it's amazing. You know, that you got that great contract that you were negotiating that contract. And he says, I negotiated that contract. All $427,000. I mean, right there. He didn't know I was a reporter. Of course, I didn't tell him I was a reporter either. So that's how I know much. Anyway, I digress. Too many old-timer stories. But we do have the game this week, and it's always hard to pick it back up when it's been, you know, when you delayed it and you got to go back and do your thing. You kind of got through with it and now you're going back. So, but anyway, I saw your column. For some reason, my subscription ran out with the Gainesville Sun. And I tried to renew it, and I don't know what I did wrong, but I did anyway. But I did see you had five reasons why the Chiefs will beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl, right?
Well, I did a five reasons why the Chiefs will win and five reasons why the Eagles will win.
Okay, Yeah.
It was just something that they could post just to, you know, basically it's just clickbait. That stuff is, you know.
That's how they do it.
Because I am no more an expert than the other 10,000 scribes who are actually there covering it. Mm. But, you know, you can make an argument for either team. I mean, at this point, you know, they're both good teams.
Yeah.
So it's not that much of a reach to say. I mean, it's not like we're saying five reasons Vanderbilt's going to beat Georgia here. You know.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this game really, because this, I don't know how it's going to go. I mean, you can build a scenario either way.
Yeah.
You know, I think Philadelphia, you know, top to bottom is a better team, but I think you know, with when Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid are on the other sideline, you know, you're always pretty leery against betting against those two, you know, because I just think anytime Patrick Mahomes has the ball in his hands, you know, it's and you're the defense, you know, you're sweating.
Hmm.
And of course, you know, there's always, you know, there's always someone who's injured and is questioning, you know, will he be as effective with that? Yeah. And you know, KC's got more banged up, but they've had a couple weeks to get healthy. So who knows? And the interesting local angle most to me is Kadarius Toney.
You know, hopefully he's okay. He got banged up last time out he's capable of putting together some huge plays and,
yeah.
You know, who knows? What are the odds of him being MVP? If you could pick that, you'd make some money, right?
Oh, man. Yeah. Especially considering where he was, you know, a couple months ago. But that's the kind of thing, you know, there have been just some out-of-right-field MVPs in this game, too.
Yeah.
You know, that just came out and had a great game. Then they just sort of filtered back into the history book.
How about Travis Kelce?
Yeah. Yeah, and the you know the Kelce brother, that's an interesting one. You know,
it is. We
didn't realize his brother is that good.
Yeah,
you know? I mean,
they're Hall of Famers, both of them. You know,
I know that's
probably
the
first
Kelce
ballot.
Means. I'd say you know Travis. You know, he may not be the most viable Kelce on the field on Sunday, and everybody thinks of him, but you know, his brother.
First set of brothers to play on opposite teams. And coming up tonight on the show, we have their high school coach.
Really?
Mike Jones. Yeah, he's kind of come on with Lauren Meadows, and he coached them both. And so we'll be talking to him in the back half of the show after we do the trivia. But first for you, my friend, let's go here. Let's talk a little Gator football before we get into the issues of how the recruiting is going and, you know, Jaden Rashada, if that's what we want to talk about, whatever, I don't know how, but he's still out there, so I guess we have to think about it. Let's talk about something a little bit more pleasant. I've never had anything named after me. Have you?
Not a thing that I can. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. I mean,
I'm trying to think. You know, you think that I would think certainly you would have had something. You're mm-hmm. you know. You've cut a pretty impressive swath through American.
Yeah, I got nothing.
The last half century.
I got nothing.
All right. I do know, there was the Tom McEwen Boulevard right in
front of doubt. McEwen would probably would have campaigned for it.
Yeah.
He would have gone. Maybe that's my problem. But no, here's the thing. I mean, we know on Friday night, as you wrote about in your column, Steve Spurrier Way will be unveiled. Congratulations to Coach. We'll be there at the event. Jeff Cardoz is emceeing, and I guess they needed somebody to fill 2 minutes, so I get to join the lineup of Danny Werfel and the chair of the county commission, Anna Prezia, Keith mm-hmm. Perry, state senator. Let's see, who else we got here? Jeremy Foley, introducing him, and what have you, on Friday night, and they will name... They will unveil Steve Spurrier Way, street dedication. Congratulations. it isn't enough to have a damn stadium named after you and a bunch of other stuff. But in my mind, they couldn't name too many things about it. I mean, I don't care if they named 30 things after him. He deserves it. So be there for that. And you wrote about something, and you said in there were several other people who had named streets named after them. Yeah. And I was thinking, you said Urban Meyer. You weren't thinking of this, were you?
No, but that's perfect. Yeah, maybe that's what gave me the inspiration.
Yeah.
To do it Urban's way.
I didn't know Urban had a street named after him. That's a mythical street that I made up. But no, yeah, so this is the real deal, though, for Steve. And, gosh, he's the golden boy, right?
Yeah, and, you know, there's something, I don't know, something permanent about having a street named that, you know. Just, mm-hmm. And I tell you, it sure sounds better Steve Spurrier Way than East 31st Avenue.
Yeah, it does, which is what it is.
Yeah, as it is. And it's perfect right through the restaurant, Celebration Point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, why, and he's certainly deserving. And in researching that piece, you know, I was really surprised how many people do have stuff. Now, like I said, you know, all due respect, Rex Grossman hasn't street named.
Yeah, where? His hometown?
Yeah, a hometown of Illinois.
Indiana. That's where he's from. Bloomington. Yeah. He came from Bloomington, yeah.
Yeah, Bloomington, Indiana has that.
Yeah,
you know, okay. And you know, Phil Fulmer has one because I think that everybody who's done anything as far as Tennessee.
There's 100 streets named after Tennessee people.
Yeah, gets something named after him on the Tennessee campus.
Yeah. Yeah,
You know, and even you know Peyton Manning. All of them are way, except for Peyton Manning, they went with Peyton Manning Pass.
Yeah, the pass is something for an ocean or a harbor. Yeah. But I mean that's fine. Way is good. Yeah.
Trivia thing. Yeah. If I just, you know, the trivia that I found most interesting was, you know, of the top 10 athletes with streets named after him with the most, number one, you got to guess?
No.
Secretariat.
Really? With,
231 streets are named after Secretariat.
That's a great stat. Worth it. I love seeing that horse run.
Yeah. And number two is Dale Earnhardt with 101.
Wow. Good stat.
Yeah. But here's the odd thing. The next eight are all horses.
They won money on them.
Earnhardt is the only human being in the top 10.
Really?
In streets, you know, in America named after him. And number 11 is Sam Snead, who had 42. So
wow, that's good stuff.
Even though Tiger has caught him in the all-time win category, Sam, I think Tiger has like 12 streets named after him. Mm. So Sam's still 30 ahead of Tiger when it comes to that anyway.
Okay. All right. So, about the only thing. Yeah, that's amazing. I guess maybe if we're going to have anything, I'd love to have a street named after me. I built a house in Ocala on Martin Drive.
Mm-hmm.
I told everybody they named it because they didn't, of course, but that's why I said, oh, yeah, they named it after us. Martin Drive, our first house. Yeah, so that's a heck of an honor, and congratulations to Coach Spurrier. Let's talk a little bit about one of the listeners said we should do tonight, being the State of the Union, Buddy should do the State of the Florida Football Union. So I'll defer to you, my friend. Kind of tired of this story about Rashada. We are doing one, I think it's tomorrow, recapping a lot of things that have been said. Can't get many people to go on the record. We have a couple of off-the-record statements from people who won't tell us, who won't let us use their names or whatever. We don't have anything earth-shattering, but it just shows you each time you get another layer of information how mucked up the whole thing was and how many fingers are in the pie. And we still haven't identified the good guys and the bad guys. You know, we're trying to do that, but there's some interesting things going on in the culture. For instance, I'll just give you this little bit of something. Remember the days of the bag men and women in football when they had bagmen, right? They had them all over. Always had them. And Jimbo Fisher was right about one thing. Some would say we've had NIL all along, just haven't been legal. And there's even some culture wars with the current collectives and the old bag gang, okay? I mean, there's something going on there. I haven't quite identified it, but somebody said the dirty money versus the clean money, supposedly. There's some things going on there. And as I told my son Brendan, who's working on the story, it's too much of a deep vibe for us. We're not Wilbur and Bernstein. We can't get into all that. I mean, you know, it's one of those insatiable stories that take you years to be able to figure it out and write it. And then people aren't going to talk, and you can't prove most of what you say. So it's just kind of a too deep a dive to take up. But we can superficially bounce along and write about what we hear, what people say, and what we can prove, which is not a whole lot. I'm sure you read the story in The Athletic. Mm-hmm. And did you? What impressions did you come away with? What did you learn from him, and where do you think it goes from here?
Well, I just learned like everybody, you know, it was, just depends on who you talk to. You know, there are a lot of fingers being pointed still. And you know, you mentioned Watergate. Yeah, but at least Watergate, they ended up with the Watergate tape, so you could listen to some stuff. You know, at least there's that evidence about it. You know, I wish that we would have an email trail. Something, you know, just some hard evidence beyond accusations here and mm-hmm. whispers and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I'm sort of like you. I just want to get it. You know, I just do not talk. You know, yeah. I don't know what else.
Where do you go with it? I mean,
it's a big deal in Florida, but I think it just represents. It's just become the symbol of what's gone wrong nationwide.
Yeah, it's endemic of the Ellis of college football. That's what it is.
Yeah, and just how things quickly got out of control and how what was supposed to be a reward for stuff once you get on campus, you know, became basically, you know, back to the Bagman days.
Exactly.
How it became, you know, I guess even though there's supposedly, there's nothing is illegal now. Well, technically, you know, if you induce... It is illegal, but induce is such a nebulous word, you know, and it's so easily skirted around, you know, and when, you know, Miami can sign a guy for $800,000 to endorse Life Wallet, you know, that's up and up because he's working for that thing. But, you know, you can't tell me that's not an inducement, but it, you know, technically, you know, legally he's, you know, they are abiding by the letter of the law. So, but it, you know, it's just an eye roll thing. This is just one continual eye roll with this stuff and what is an inducement and what isn't. The ultimate victim here, you know, I think I just feel sorry for Rashada because I think, you know, people say he's just 17. I think he's 19 actually, but he's still way too young to be put in this position where his advisors tell him one thing, another people telling him, you know, and it's just, this is the kind of thing that's supposed to happen when you're 20, you know, a 28-year-old pro athlete, when you have all these different factions coming in, right, telling you, you know, trying to run your business, and you know he's 19. He, you know, his parents are, you know, everybody, you know, has their own agenda here, and he just caught in the middle. And you know, ultimately, you know, he was getting, I don't know, you know, if you believe the figures, whatever it was, I'm sure he had at least a few million dollars coming from solidly from Miami. You know, they said 9.6, whatever, but it would you. Even if it was half that, $4 million, you know, he's gone from having $4 million to, you know, what?
$300,000.
Yeah, nothing. So, yeah, this whole thing just blew up because of poor management, poor advice somewhere along the way. That people just couldn't come to some sort of settle an agreement along the way. So, you know, I feel sorry for, you know, him, and I think he really wanted to come to Florida. You know, but
sounds like it. Yeah.
Maelstrom.
Yeah, sounds like it.
And it's unfortunate, you know. Yeah. It is funny to think, you know, you mentioned the Joe Namath thing. He got $427,000. You know, that won't get you a good high school quarterback.
By the way, and I don't know if that was for 2 or 3 years, but anyway, it was 1 year, I think. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, you can't even, it's not even apples to apples, but yeah. Michael Burton says Dan Marino should have a street named after him.
I think he does.
Yeah, several people said Secretariat. Lauren Meadows says he had a street name, Secretariat, where he lived. Someone asked about Bear Bryant. I'm sure there are Bear Bryant streets.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly what they are, but I'm sure they are. Yeah, so that's going on. And by the way, just as a point of reference, not to jump back and forth, but the Rashada thing, I'm just sick of it, really, to be honest with you. I try to talk about it to share enlightenment, but I don't have any. So I just have to wait and see how it plays out. But anyway, so that you know that you had in your column, the three sports people in Florida, only three of state-approved streets named after them, three sports people. You had it in your column, remember?
Bowden?
Bowden's one.
Yeah. Spurrier?
Spurrier's two.
And, yeah, bro, I should know this. Bowden Spurrier.
Think pros. Think pros.
You meant, Marino?
You mentioned his name tonight.
Oh, I did. I don't know this.
Don Shula.
Of course. Shula Express. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. So that's what's going on there. All right. So give me the.
We won't count McEwen then, huh?
I think there's coaches. I think it's three coaches. Yeah. I believe.
Yeah.
McEwen's probably got 94 things named after him. And probably half of them he named. But I can say that because Tom was my friend. I can say that about him.
Yeah.
All right. So let's give me a little summation. For all those friends waiting with Baton Rouge. Dan Bond says Billy Donovan should have a name. Yeah, it's street. He should, yeah. All right, so give me your top off the we got Lauren Meadows coming up here in a minute. Talk about the Kelce brothers. Top off for you think this Gator program is in football right now. You cover it on a daily basis. You think this thing might blow over? You think they can ride the first year with Mertz as a quarterback till they get their phenomenon in 2 years? You think they got enough people signed to be competitive, and will they get more in the portal? What do you hear?
Yeah. Well, if I was to stand up tonight and play Joe Biden's, I'd say the state of the football is evolving.
Okay. Good word. Yeah.
Because he certainly turned over the roster. Mm-hmm. Now what it turns into, I don't. You know, yeah. Mertz. Yeah. That's that is a topic of constant conversation for the next, that'll be number one top by far for the next 6 months. We'll start seeing at least in a month when spring practice kicks off, get a first look.
Yeah, we won't see much, but we'll see a little bit.
Even when it's over, he could come out and throw for 5,000 yards in the orange and blue game. Wouldn't mean anything,
Yeah.
We'll see. He obviously was – highly, highly recruited. Something happened in Wisconsin. It didn't work out. Maybe it'll be, but you're better off with him than without him at this point. Because, between him and Miller, maybe they'll have a common core, but the problem is that the schedule is just, it's going to be tough, but I think that this is just going to be one where I think it's evolving and we'll see what happens as it goes along. And as you mentioned, the Phenom, another interesting story, it was sort of bookended the Rashada one in the Athletic was, so when that guy from the Athletic went and spent a lot of time with Lagway, the kid from Texas.
Yeah, the promising one coming up from Willis, Texas, yeah.
Yeah, and he, he sounds like just what this program, and if nothing else, I think a guy that highly touted, still committed to the program, it has a Pied Piper effect, and, for this coming recruiting season. Yeah. And I think that will make up for, solve a lot of the Rashada wound.
Right.
Let's face it, if Rashada had come in right away and won this quarterback position, that meant that they were really hurting at court, because I don't think, short term it may make a little long term, Lagway, who knows, we're all talking 17, 18 kids, but he covers up a lot of, a lot, at least right now, perception shortcoming. People can feel good about that, having him in the fold and being so dedicated already. He sounds almost Tebow-like in his dedication to the Florida program.
Right.
And early reports are good, and we're all just talking recruiting now, but totally new offensive line. They're big. Who knows what will come together?
Yeah.
It's a question.
I-75 road graders. That's them, baby.
Yeah. But one thing is that it ain't easy in the SEC. Even if they're better, you know, the record may, it could still be a loser. When you just look game by game, you know, there are very few gimmies on that schedule. That's for sure.
Yeah. All right, David, I'll let you go out with this. Two things. Which prop bet do you want? Do you want to pick the color of Gatorade? Do you want to, what do you want to pick? What the light's going out? Which one do you like?
I would like, you know, who will be the first person to score?
Okay. You have a guess?
Yeah. I think it'll be the running back for Philadelphia. For some reason, I'm drawing a blank. He made the Pro Bowl, but he has like 12 TDs. And so if it gets down to the goal line, he's the guy they give it to.
Okay.
I'll be darned if I can think of his name. I'm just drawing a blank.
We'll probably need to have a ruling on that. If you don't know his name, can you really pick
him?
Now you got me thinking. Mahomes would have been easier. Or Kelsey, whatever. All right.
Yeah.
So here's the last one. I saved this the very last, and we've got Lauren standing by in the Orange Blue Room for trivia night. He's got one, I'm sure. Did you read the story about Aaron Rodgers' decision of what he's going to do for a retreat? Did you hear about it?
I saw the headline, and I hadn't got something about he's going to what, some darkness therapy?
Darkness retreat, okay?
Darkness retreat.
Yeah. This is something that you could make a whole column knowing how clever you are.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, a darkness retreat, all right? He says, I've had a number of friends who've done it, and they had profound experience. Just a little house and him in the darkness.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's not my thing, but maybe I'm missing it. I don't know.
Yeah, that is so Aaron Rodgers, though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
If anyone, and he's going to, it sounds sort of like Moses in the day, you know, he's going to be up there for 40 days and 40 nights and come down and see what the tablets hold.
Exactly.
Five more years.
Exactly. Well, you can read him in the Gainesville Sun, other Gannett papers. He's clever, he's a good writer, he's fun, he's topical. My friend, love having him on every Tuesday night. Good job. David, you got the column for tomorrow you want to talk about?
Day after tomorrow, I want to Kadarius Toney, as I mentioned earlier.
Okay, you know? All right. That's a good one. And, I look forward to reading it.
Yeah, he's the luckiest Gator out there going from New York to KC.
Is he ever? The great David Whitley. Thank you, buddy. You take care. Talk to you soon. All right.
All right.
Same time, same station for David every week. Glad to have him on. All right. Just going to take this commercial break, and then standing by is Lauren Meadows, and he's got a special guest, and I mean special. First of all, there'd never been two brothers playing on opposite teams in the Super Bowl, number one, right? Never happened before. We've got the Kelsey brothers coming up. Secondly, they played together in high school in Cincinnati. I believe it was in Cincinnati, it was in Ohio, and their football coach, Mike Jones, is our guest, Lauren's guest. Plus, Lauren's got goodies. So stay tuned. We'll do this commercial from our friends at Meldon Law and back with Lauren Meadows and Mike Jones. Time to catch up with our friend Jeffrey Meldon, who's always got his shirt tail in the wind doing stuff and meanwhile celebrating milestones. Jeffrey, first of all, hello and welcome back and congratulations. You got a big milestone coming up for your scholar athlete program, 25 years.
Yes, buddy, we're really excited. We started in 1997 with Larry Vitale, who had the Sports Scene show. And after a couple of years, TV20 called us, and we joined up with them and got even greater exposure. And we've now given away over 650 scholarships to local scholar athletes in Marion County, Alachua County, and all the adjoining counties.
I know you're proud of that. And by the way, I remember Larry Vitale. We worked together for a number of years. I guess he's up in New York now. Let's talk about what you're doing with Meldon Law. I want to remind people that they do practice law at Meldon Law, because sometimes you have so many things going on, whether you're trying out for the band or you're doing the Dancing with the Stars or whatever. We forget to tell them you are in business and you do practice law. Let's get that straight. And I got a number here, which I know is good from Ocala. I'm presuming Ocala, Gainesville, 352-629-5700. Let's talk about the fact that you are litigators as well.
Yes. I show up every morning at the office, by the way, and I have my desk, you know, full of stuff, and I walk around the office and collaborate with all the attorneys and folks here. So we've really grown, buddy. It's a great story because we've grown from 12 people on our team to 32 people in a period of 6 years. So we're very proud of that. And we're most proud of the team members that we have, just like any sports team. And, you know, your listeners are to a great extent working in businesses, and they know what it's like building a team in the office.
They do. All right, Melvin Law, they won't back down. And neither will this guy. My friend Lauren Meadows, who's standing by with a special guest, will bring Lauren up first. Find out how he wants to handle this trivia question. Lauren, get out of that hole. How are you, buddy?
How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. How you doing? Thanks for doing this tonight. And I don't want to keep our guests waiting too long. I'll let you make the call. If you want to do the trivia and put it out there now, come back. Or you want to bring Mike up first? It's up to you.
We can bring Mike up first. Right. You know, he probably got to get up and teach school in the morning. So.
All right. He's a working guy, unlike you. He's not some country club guy. He's a working guy. Hello, Coach Jones. How you doing?
I'm doing great, sir. How are you doing tonight?
Very good. Thank you for doing this with us tonight. Lawrence told me all about you. He basically said he made you who you are today.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to have a little fun around here sometimes. You might have guessed. Well, I mean, how rare. First of all, I got so many questions to ask. And Lauren, he's your guest. I'll let you have the first crack at that because you know, you're old friends. And this is just such a rare story, rare situation to have two brothers playing on opposite teams in the Super Bowl and then to have the guy who coached them in high school. Go ahead, Lauren.
Well, I think the biggest question is for Mike is just what it's been like this week with, you know, with Jason and Travis both playing in the game and just the pompous circumstance and the fanfare, not just for you yourself, but in the community. And, you know, there's some couple cool things Mike will be able to enlighten us on that the Cleveland Heights community is doing for both Travis and Jason. So go ahead and explain some of that, Mike.
Okay, yeah, it's been an exciting week and a half with a lot of media and just a lot of excitement around our community. We have a very diverse community, and as you know, that Travis always reps his community every Sunday night when they're on playing Sunday night football. But we have several things in place to celebrate the young men. We have a famous clock tower at our school, and on the east side of the tower where we lit it up in green, and on the west side of the tower we lit it up in red, and then right in the center a gold light at the center, you know. So, and that's one of the things that we're doing to celebrate them at the school. We have some posters out front of them in the lawn, and with our student body, we're going to have a pep rally for them on Thursday. We're asking our students and our staff to wear red or green, you know, whoever they're cheering for. And then we have some community folks coming together, and we bought like 1,000 gold light bulbs that they can pick up at different locations and at our school board to put on their front light so we can light it up for our colors is gold and black, so we can light it up during the Super Bowl. So we've got a lot of things going on around the school. We're going to feed our kids this week with Kansas City barbecue for lunch. We're going to feed them with Philly cheese steaks at lunchtime. And then on Friday, we're going to have a tailgate little party at their lunchtime also. So it's a lot of things we're doing with our students and our student athletes. Our football team is going to record a message that's going to send out a message to both of our guys, and they're going to send that video out to them. And so we're just trying to celebrate them. This is a first. Both of our guys have been to the Super Bowl before, but you know, this is a first for both of them to be there at the same time.
If I can jump in here real quick, and I don't, Mike, Lauren, I want you to get your time in, but I want to explain to people and who are not necessarily pro football fans, but know a little bit about them, how rare this is. First of all, we said Travis and Jason are the first set of brothers to play on opposite teams, number one. And of course, as you know, Jason starts at center, the Eagles, and Travis is starting the tight end. Now, we mostly know Travis because he caught 14 balls last week. But Jason is every bit the player. Both of them are multiple All-Pro selections. They started Cincinnati in the late 2000s. And I love the comment by Travis Kelce, who said about facing his brother, he says, "My mom can't lose." So that's a nice little note there. So it's quite a thing there, Coach. And I can't wait for you to tell us a little bit about each one, how they're different, how they're the same.
Well, I'll tell you, Jason is the ultimate big brother. And, you know, we met both of the young men when Jason was in middle school and Travis was still in the wings a little bit. And, you know, Jason was tall and lean and just really a real serious young man. So he was versatile because he was in the music also. So and he played multiple sports like hockey and lacrosse also. So but Jason was always kind of the serious one, the studier, the one who wanted to who had to work a little harder. As Travis came along, Travis, you could see right away, was kind of blessed with some natural talent. He fastly grew past Jason in height and size also, and just was talented in a lot of different sports, hockey, baseball, basketball was probably his favorite sport. And like I said, Jason was the ultimate big brother. Their parents really instilled good character and values in both of them. Travis was a little loosey-goosey, meaning that he liked to just have fun. You know, Travis was a fun guy, as you can tell out here on Sunday, you know, and Jason kind of kept him in step. And Jason had his share of fun also, but he knew when to and when not to, you know, and he knew how to keep Travis kind of reeled in. But both of the young men, you know, had a great high school careers and they were involved in a lot of different things, not just football players.
Lauren?
Yeah, Mike, we talked about it a little bit. We talk about it all the time. And obviously, you know, we kind of went through it together because we were both coaching at the time when unfortunately Travis was ineligible. And I think he's, you know, used that as kind of a motivation for himself, but also to help motivate other young men and kind of tell his story. Can you speak to just, you know, I know that you guys, you know, made a big effort to keep him around the program that year, keep him involved, and just what that meant to him and how you can see that growth show now in his play as a professional.
Yeah, Travis had a hurdle there in high school. A little French class caught up with him and not having enough credits to play the next year. And, you know, we kept him out there. We kept him around. He became, you know, the scout team quarterback. He would do anything that we asked him to do. He showed up on time, was where he needed to be that entire season. And it built character in him. He knew he couldn't slip and slide. He was a good student, but, you know, he was very popular also. So he really just needed to focus up and make sure he took care of his business. And it just, I think it helped him mature. He had a very similar hiccup in college also. And so his big brother, being the ultimate big brother, was always there by his side. We tell our student athletes that, you know, sometimes, you know, the road is not so smooth. You know, you have a little rocky road sometimes. You have hurdles to get over. So Travis has come back and spoke to our student body about that. They were inducted in the Hall of Fame back in 2018 at our school, and he came in and spoke about that at that point too. But we tell our students that you're not going to be perfect and you're going to have some hurdles, but you can get over them. Okay, you got a perfect example right in front of you. And so Travis has persevered and has focused up, and we see what he is today.
Yeah, we got a question here from David Hunter. He says, Mike, when are you coming back to the swamp?
Well, hey, Lauren's going to have me back down, I'm sure, at the beginning of the season. And I enjoyed coming down also. And I enjoyed tailgating, and I enjoyed going to the game.
Yeah, for sure. One question for me, and then I'll let Lauren take it up, about Travis becoming a tight end and then being a quarterback. How does that guy get open every single time? I mean, he knows how to anticipate routes. They, you know, quarterbacks can throw him. I mean, he's a tight end, really a wide receiver. And as we saw, he changed position when he got hurt, went to the outside. But I mean, I don't see, how could you not have four guys on him? Because he's going to catch like 10 balls a game. Are you amazed at that, Coach?
I'm definitely amazed with it. But you know, Travis studied his craft. You know, being a quarterback for so many years, you know, and being coached up to read defenses and understand what people are. He understands the mismatch. He understands how to sit down. He understands how to move to help his quarterback and find that hole to get in. And he's a mismatch. I don't care who you try to put on him. You know, a linebacker can't handle him. A safety, you know, is your best bet, but he's not fast enough. And then you got a corner who, of course, is just too small. So Travis understands how to work his leverage and understands how to get open and keep moving and how to reroute himself. So he's a student of the game. He has mastered his craft, and he is definitely handling his business out there on Sunday.
Lauren, take it out.
You know, my guy Mike is extremely humble. I would say I'm the arrogant one of the relationship between the two of us. But
that figures. That sounds right to me.
I always want to ask my friend though, and I don't bring it up much, but I think it's cool. Obviously, Mike knows how I feel about him both personally and professionally. But Mike, I mean, when you really think about it, I mean, what does it feel not to only coach two guys playing in the Super Bowl? They've both done that. Now they're playing against each other. But ultimately, they're both probably going to have busts right down the road from you guys in Canton. I mean, what when you think about that and just, you know, like you said, seeing them grow up from teenagers, I mean, what's that moment going to be like? And what's that mean to Cleveland Heights as well?
Well, I tell you, it's going to be a special moment. We are just so excited for both of those young men, as well as their family. Their mom and dad have done such a great job with both of them. And, you know, that moment's going to be really special, I think, for our community and for, you know, for us as a former coaching staff also. We anticipate the moment's going to happen, and we really feel it's going to happen for both of them. And so we at Cleveland Heights have been very fortunate to have a Hall of Famer some years back with Mr. Mack. He was a Hall of Famer, came out of Cleveland Heights, and we're looking to have two more, and we're going to be so excited when that day happens.
Well, you got him, I'm pretty sure. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate you taking some time with us tonight. And I hope Lauren won't hide you from me next time when you come down. I get a chance to meet you. You know, he's kind of ashamed. He's a little ashamed of me, so he has me back, you know. So, but no, Lauren's a good friend and a key part of what we do here at Gator Bait and also this program. And so nice to meet you. And I know you're very proud, and I'll be rooting for you as well this weekend. You can't, like he said, you're going to have a winner no matter what.
We can't lose this weekend. We're going to be a winner no matter what. So it was a pleasure being on the show, and I really appreciate you having me.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
All right. That was fun. Yeah. Thank you for lining that up. Can you lay out the trivia now, or are you still just buzzing about the Kelce boys? I mean, what a story.
Oh, no. We can go ahead. You got the video, or you want me to just ask the question?
I think I – let me – well – I got it. But while I'm loading it up, why don't you go ahead and ask the question, okay?
Okay. So the question is, there's only one quarterback in the history of Florida football that's thrown three touchdown passes in two separate bowl games. And the choices are A, Steve Spurrier, B, Shane Matthews, C, Tim Tebow, or D, Danny Werfel. So all one right. quarterback.
Yep. Now tell them.
Which?
Yeah. Okay. I'll put it up here in just a second, but tell them what they can win. And when are we announcing that, by the way?
Well, we're going to pull tonight for January's winner, and then tonight's guests are going to the February drawing that will draw. And you can actually have to get with our two previous winners, but both those gentlemen received a piece of swag from Spurrier's Gridiron Grill. And then we also have some Buddy Martin.
Goodie box. A little goodie box there.
Yeah. Oh, goodie box. And then, it's been pretty cool. Toby can, I know Toby received his. Rob should have received his gift as well by now. But working with Freddie Wiebe and people at Spurs Gridiron Grill, they've done a great job with that. And, we're just kind of going from there. So we can kind of pull. Let me go ahead.
All right, while you're doing it, I'll go ahead and play that since you went to the trouble to record it. Here's the question for those who didn't get it.
Lauren Meadows with Gator Babe Media coming to you live from Spurrier's Gridiron Grill with Tuesday Night Trivia. Only one Florida quarterback has thrown three touchdown passes in two separate bowl games. Is it A, Steve Spurrier, B, Shane Matthews, C, Tim Tebow, or D, Danny Werfel? Be the first to answer and you'll be entered into our monthly drawing for swag and other prizes. From Spurrier's Gridiron Grill, this is Lauren Meadows with Gator Bait Media.
Okay, Lauren, that's it. And yeah, I could guess this myself. I got pretty well know this. Saw them all. So, all right. So, just so they know, the Spurrier Prize, I mean, it's not exactly a paper cup full of water, you know. Thank you for that, for Freddie. And there's some goodies in there you can get. I don't know what all they are, but. And then Lauren will give you your choice of a couple items out of the Buddy Martin Goodie Box. These are books and videos and things you can't get anywhere else, and kind of archive. All right. But while we're waiting for that, we got about a minute to you to assess the situation with this Gator football team. You had a nice piece this past week talking about how Billy did on his round one of his recruiting and transfer report. Do you want to summarize that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, if you look at it from the standpoint, I think he's done a decent job at the high school level. I kind of expressed more or less about the accumulation of talent, but maybe addressing some of the issues and relationships. I spoke about how, he was able to get Kamari Wilson from IMG, and it had been quite some time since Florida had a player from IMG since they've really become a national powerhouse at the prep level. And then also his ability to assess possibly non-Power 5 talent that's been able to come in and really be successful at the SEC level, i.e. Osiris Torrance, Montrell Johnson, and those kind of things. And then, if there was a criticism, there could be, at the quarterback position, but, obviously with the commitment of DJ Lagway in the 2024 class, and like David said earlier, that could pay dividends in recruiting the rest of the class going forward. And then, like you said, you don't know, so I think going forward, he's done a nice job of accumulating some talent in some different places, has a great wide receiver class with Aiden Mizell, Eugene Wilson, Andy Jean. A lot's been made of Andy Jean already, who earlier enrolled, and how he's looking physically. So I mean, I think he's done a decent job. Now, obviously, at the end of the day, wins and losses is what I think drives recruiting the most. So, you know, I share kind of the sentiment of some of my colleagues in the media and other Florida greats that think, you know, 8 wins is a must for this team next year. And I think 8 wins is something that could bode well for the 2024 class and 2025 class. So that's kind of, you know, where I went. And while I got the podium, I guess, and this isn't rigged, even though people may think it is, the winner of our January drawing was Nat Blaylock,
so, the mayor of, used to be Newberry, now he's the mayor of Alachua, yeah. Nat Blaylock, one of our original GNK members. Congratulations. Yeah. Congratulations. So, there it is.
And it looks like tonight's winner, the first one to get it, was Tim Tebow, who threw 3 touchdown passes mm-hmm. against Michigan mm-hmm. and then three plus against Cincinnati in his final game as a Florida Gator. So mm-hmm. the winner of that is Robert Turner. So Robert Turner will be our first entry into February.
All right, Robert. Congratulations, Robert. That's great stuff right there. All right, any final thoughts on basketball or anything else you want to put out there, Lauren?
I think we're about a year or two away with both basketball programs. You know, obviously, I think the women are 14-9. I'm not sure where the men are, but obviously
16-13.
You know, 16-13. Yeah. Played decent against. I wasn't able to watch all the Kentucky game, just bits and pieces, but, you know, fought. You know, kind of fought tooth and nail, back and forth. I mean, it's tough to win at Rupp, but I think both programs are about a year away. Kelly was able to sign her first McDonald's All-American. We saw that Coach Golden, with some of his international contacts, signed a good-looking player out of Australia, and I think, you know, that's kind of maybe following what could be, you could term it, the Gonzaga model, so to speak, of kind of tapping into some international flavor with some of those players. And I also think, you know, a lot of people forget that, and I'm sure France may have mentioned it before, but the contacts that he has in the Atlanta metro area with some of the prep players, I think is going to pay off as well. So, I mean, I think just at this point, you know, I think both teams could be looking at the NIT, but, you know, what the beauty of that is, it gives you a little bit longer opportunity to continue to develop, build team chemistry, and then work towards next season.
Well, so, if you can beat Kentucky at home and somehow get 4 wins to get to 20, you got a shot.
Yeah.
You definitely do.
Right. And, you know, you can even get to the third day of the SEC tournament and things
right.
can change. You know, it's just where we are right now.
Yeah. And I agree with you. That's the projection. I agree. Yeah. NIT.
It could go down. And that's so, and I think the men kind of got through their little patch, you know, got the one win. They, you know, they probably dropped one. They shouldn't have got the win against Tennessee. Now the women still have LSU, South Carolina. I mean, they still got a little bit of both on the road. Yeah. I mean, so it's going to be
looks
tough.
Like, yeah, looks like Yale's there for sure, yeah. Hey, Lauren, great job getting Mike Jones on tonight. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for the trivia stuff.
Absolutely.
For all that you do. We'll see you on Thursday night, Orange Blue Bloods, all right?
Yes, sir.
The coach, Lauren Meadows, who joins us every week, twice a week, matter of fact. And he'll be on the Orange Blue Bloods on Thursday night with Ben and friends and the gang. All right, so hope you enjoyed the program that I did. I want to tell you about my friends at Renstar, and I mean friends. And they do so much in our community. I mean, I really should say more than what they do, because they're so important to Ocala and the area, and their business, and they're being a stakeholder downtown and stepping up and supporting a lot of things in our community. This program is sponsored for 5 or 6 years. We're grateful for that. And we're also grateful for the work they do. They run one of the best high-quality patient-centered clinical research trials anywhere in the country. They have this cutting-edge technology there, which they use for trials in Ocala in areas like Alzheimer's and psoriasis, osteoarthritis, migraines, fibromyalgia, many other things that affect our communities and conditions. That's why they like to have you come and take part in some of their trials. It gives them some indigenous, I guess, data to use in this. What do I know about it? But anyway, they do a good job, and this goes throughout the community. Prominent pharmaceutical biomedical companies use this data to provide the answers to what we need and to take care of ourselves. So go to their website today or tomorrow, Red Star Medical Research. Check out what they got going on. You can apply if you want to be a part of it. In most cases, compensation is given for time and travel. Red Star Medical Research, seeking tomorrow's answers to the health questions of today. Thanks to our guest tonight, David. Thanks for Coach Jones. Coach both those Kelsey guys in high school and doing a great job. And, of course, Lauren Meadows, our buddy. Hope you had a good night. We'll see you tomorrow night. Same time, same station. We're going to have Coach Spurrier on tomorrow night along with David Moulton. So that's coming up. Thank you and good night.